today, just for a moment, I'm going to say the word, Troy. I want you to put the screen up as I say it. Glorious light. Glorious light. It's coming. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Just let it stay there for a minute, Troy. I don't want to move. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a crackpot." Oh, come on, say it like you said it to him last night. You're a crackpot. There was an old gentleman in our community, and when I first moved here, I went to his museum. I think you'll know Ernie. He had a seventh grade education, and he saw a stick of wood. And he said, "I saw 10 cuts in a stick of wood. And I made those cuts." A stick of wood, like a cracked pot, an earthen vessel. We're going to look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You'll see it there, jars of clay. I can't help it. I got to tell you where I'm going so that you know. But Ernie made cuts in a little piece of wood. And then he grabbed it. And he unfolded it. Not many of you probably have the triple pliers, but I was fortunate enough to be there with his, I think it's grandson or one of the children that was directly connected to him made this for me when I went through 34 years ago. And God spoke to me in that moment and he said, "This is a representation of what I did through my son Jesus. When they laid stripes, they made cuts in his back for the healing of nations." So you may be a crackpot, but God has a plan for you. You got that word yet? Did you find 2 Corinthians? We're going to dig in there. Yeah, and that's when my computer screen goes off. Of course, it always does. Oh, thank you. Glorious light, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, verse 6 is the concentrative verse, but there's another one down in the. But we're going to get there. So let's just kind of read a little bit about how God might be using our circumstances, our situation, our transition, our transformation to reveal his glorious light. His light. One, we've heard it said, this isn't about you, it's about him and what he's done. Well, let me tell you something. In conjunction with that, he loves to do what he's done through you. You crackpot. For God, who said, "Let brilliant light shine out of," what's the word? Okay. "Let brilliant light shine." Let me show you what happens in real light. Don't go blind. Don't stare at it long. But this is LED lighting, and it's incredible. Oh, I've got better than that because I've lost a few things in my garage and I've needed a brilliant light. My wife says, "Oh, Leary, now don't look at this one. I'll just show it to you on the ceiling. Are you ready?" Oh, you're going to turn the lights off. Actually, light does work better in dark. That is bright. This is what God wants in the middle of the darkest situation in your life. He wants to light you up. You crackpot. See, I know what the devil says to you. I know how he declares. Boy, I'm not even going to be able to see my notes if I keep looking at that. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Does help, doesn't it? I have found so many nuts, bolts, and screws after I put something together. I mean, hey, I'm sorry, but they just didn't know they needed those when they built it the first time. Okay? But light has helped me. Is that what he's up to? But there are times when I've been blinded because I was working in utter darkness and I flipped that light on and all of a sudden it was like I was blind. I couldn't see a thing. Is that what happens to us spiritually? We come in on a Sunday morning with our circumstances, our issues, walking out of darkness into his glorious light, and all of a sudden we're going, whoa, whoa, somebody turn the lights down. My little grandboy, Luke, Brandy, she's incredibly creative as a mom. She loves to work with wood, loves to work with nails and screws and all kinds of things and a lot of paint, and just is very creative. And so she has this light that they had in their... How many of you have seen those lights you can buy that just stick on the wall and you flip it on and everything lights up? LED. Well, on this light, it was in Luke's little play area, and I'm going, oh, Mom, what are you thinking? It had blue tape around where the light was. I see through a glass darkly. And when Luke would turn that on, you would see a blue light, and it didn't hurt his eyes. It didn't bother him. As he got and gets used to it, as he grows up, his retina, his eyes will focus. Somewhere we've been here that all since the first of the year, getting our vision, getting our purpose, getting our direction for what God wants to do, and not a transition, but in a transformation, moving forward as a church. Let the brilliant light shine out of, say that word, darkness. The enemy of your soul wants you to think that it's dark all around. Do you know that not one night has stopped the stars from shining? Not one night has stopped the moon from reflecting the sun. It's always there. And the light is always beaming. And it's coming out of space, which is called utter darkness. Thousands and thousands of years, light travels at the speed of light. It's moving thousands and thousands of feet per second. What's it doing? Dispelling darkness. What are you there for? What are you working in that environment for? What are you meeting those people for? What are the situations in your life? Why did they come to me? Because of the light that's shining. Is the one who has, I love this, cascaded, this is the Passion Translation, cascaded his light into us. You crackpot. What's going to happen with that light in a cracked pot? Get ready. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus. And sometimes haven't you gazed into the face of Jesus in the middle of a struggle and you've wiped your eyes and said, oh, Lord, I don't know. I can't see. I'm blinded by all this. And then you read the word again because now you can see it clearly. Your eyes are clearing up and you're focusing. And then you move into what the word is saying. The brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus. Jesus is right, buddy. And look at that face. I love your face. I love it. Yep, you. All right. Context is important. We tell you all the time. Version is not that important because we have so many versions. So pick it. If you don't like the Passion, get the Message. Get King James. I don't care what you get, because it's the Word of God, and it will illuminate your life, and you will get a better understanding even as you venture through. And that's why we're kind of in this translation, kind of venturing through an understanding. Now, it's because of God's mercy that we have been entrusted. You realize how powerful those words, mercy, entrusted, with the privilege of this new covenant ministry. Wow. Man, that sentence is full of light, if we'll just let it, just keep reading it. And we will not quit or faint with weariness. Do you happen to know why Paul wrote that? Because he'd been run out of town. He'd been nearly stoned to death. He was in prison for the gospel's sake. And he knew what it was to be weary in well-doing. And he's saying to us, he's speaking to us, because there's a privilege of new ministry that God, thank you, Lord, giving us. We will not quit or faint with weariness. We reject. Did somebody say this morning, Pastor Travis? Listen, we reject every shameful cover-up and refuse to resort to cunning trickery or distorted word of God. The enemy really tries to turn it on, and you heard it this morning. The songs have said it. Instead, we open up our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience. Okay, listen. This is not about the eyes, because you can be blinded. We saw that just a moment ago. This is about the soul. It's about the heart. It's about the innermost being. And we all really know what that is. Even people who say, I don't believe God, have an inner voice because God put it there. Instead, we open our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience. You know what? That speaks to me real high, because I think all the time we're reading people. We see their downtrodden look. We see them trying to find their way. We see them stumbling, and so then we react. Is that what God called us to? Is that what prophecy in the church, Eric, is today? A reaction to the circumstances or situation? I thought that God called us to prophesy, to tell forth, to show the light and dispel the darkness. Wow. Whoa. Yay, God. Yay, God. He's got it all. Oh, he had it all the time. Presenting the truth to everyone's conscience. Quit talking to their head. Talk about talking to the head. We've been through psychological exams, Ruthie and I. They did. They put us through psychological exams, and we scored zero. Hallelujah. Say, thank God. Tell me, I'm a crackpot. Say, you're a crackpot. There is no doubt about it. I am a crackpot, and we got zero. I'm seriously telling you that the doctors, the surgeons, told us that we scored zero. In 32 years of the psychologist understanding of humanity and sociology and all of that kind of stuff that they've done and study, doctors, PhD, she said, I've had 2 zeros. And I'm telling you, there is absolutely zero wrong with this family. They're ready for a transplant. So scoring zero. When I first heard that, I went, oh, man. Oh, Jessica, I'm sorry. Haven't you ever said that as a parent? But see, they didn't see Larry and Ruthie. They didn't see Jessica. They didn't see Leslie and Travis and the girls. They saw us all because we were there interacting with us. But they saw zero issues. And now we're having people saying, like our Hindu friends, doctors. There's another doctor, and he walked out of the room the other day. He came to see Jessica from Peds. He's got to walk clear across through two hospitals to be where he was to see our daughter, and he came specifically to see her. And as he walked out of the room, he said, "You will pray for me, won't you?" I said, "We're praying for you all the time, Doc." He was the one that started introducing us to the possibility of Jessica getting a new heart. Whew, I still got to work through that one. You got to pray for me. You prayed over her. You declared a new heart. I had no idea how that was going to happen. I've been 36 years thanking God for where we are. And it could still happen without surgery. But if it does happen with surgery, I've got a lot of other things that I'm praying about. Jessica takes on a whole different thing. But you know what? I got a feeling that I'm walking out of darkness into his glorious light. And every day is just another page on God's journey. In fact, I got a text today from somebody that says, "Larry, we're praying for you because Jessica is on a journey and you're walking into and through the presence of Jesus Christ." And I thought, wow, today. I'm thinking, boy, that'll preach. So you just got it. Oh, instead, we open our souls to you by presenting the truth to everyone's conscience in the sight and presence of God. If you didn't know it, Lifeway is a church of presence. We're not special. We're not any different than any church in this valley. We've got people with difficulties and struggles, people that are starting their journey with Jesus, people that are still figuring out whether they want to walk with Jesus, and others who are longtime advocates of his love and grace to a world. But wow, everyone's conscience in the sight and presence of God. Were you listening this morning? If you were, you've already heard from the Lord. The light's on. Even if our gospel message is, Brandy's little light, veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing. For their minds, here we go. Remember I told you, be careful not to speak to the mind, speak to the heart, the soul, the conscience. For their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. The blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Of the wondrous news of the glory. There's that glory presence of Jesus, who is the divine image of God. Oh, there's so many scriptures I was going to go to here that I don't have time to. And pastors, whatever God leads you in the future, let's walk through. Let's walk through Moses going up to the mountain, coming back with such a glorious presence. We talked about that the other day. Such a glorious presence on God that Israel went, oh, turn off, Moses, come on. Peter was there. Two other disciples were there, and suddenly Jesus transformed in a mount of transfiguration so brightly they fell to the ground. Wouldn't it be cool? In the Old Testament, God showed up in the church, in the temple, so strongly that they all fell. The priest, it says the priest couldn't minister. And I'm saying, come on, God. Let your presence so blind our eyes so that our hearts are open to see clearly what God is doing. We do not preach ourselves, but rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, we are your servants for Jesus' sake. We've turned the light on because we care about you. We want to show you where the food is, and we want you to eat. Okay? That's the first part of that chapter. Now, one more time. Tell your neighbor. You know what to tell them. Come on. Tell them. Yeah, I figured you wouldn't have to figure that out long. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, we are like common clay jars. Oh, honey, I wanted to bring, I forgot. I was going to bring one of your, Ruthie loves pottery. Ruthie loves glass. Larry is a bowl in the china closet. I have broke so many things that she buys me super glue, and when she breaks something, she goes, honey, fix it. You got to look close. I'm good. I'm really good. You got to look close to see those cracks. But if you know me and you live in my house and you're one of mine, like Leslie shaking her head, you will know where the cracks are. But I kind of think I'm a bit of an artist. You know there's an art? There's an art to fixing cracked pots. There is. Now, I'm gonna do my best. I asked the English professor this morning, Ruthie. I should have, but Paula's not here, so she can't tell me. But Kent, K-I-N-T, Sugi, Kintsugi. Can you say that? Kintsugi. See the word? You try to pronounce it. Kintsugi is an art form of fixing broken pottery. Do you see it? Are you looking close? Do you see how they do it? Well, you know what? In as you look it up online, you're going to find out that Kintsugi is this, the art of precious scars. Oh, if you're Jesus, can I touch your hand? We call him Doubting Thomas. I call him a smart disciple. He wanted to know, are you real? And he opened up his robe to touch my side. Showed him the scars. The art of precious scars. The art of using cracked pots. Wow. By repairing their brokenness, they had plants. The Japanese didn't go to Walmart. Okay, when they developed this art form, they went to the nature around them and they gathered sap from certain plants that when it hardened as good as the pottery, and they glued it together. Well, through the centuries, they've discovered even a greater art. And if you look very closely, especially down here and up there, if we could just see it, there is a new form of kintsugi, which is called gold. The crack pot is glued together with gold. Now, how valuable is that crack pot? And what have I been done but being a broken vessel in the presence of God? And he has put me back. He transformed, transfigured. He transpositioned me into a new place, a new heart. And he put himself there. His blood flows. And by that, I begin to reflect. Are you getting it? Are you understanding what God is doing with you as a crackpot? And that's why you're so important to the world. That's why your message needs the light on it. Oh, but if you show the light out of the darkness, you'll see the crack. Show that one slide of all that ground. Look at that. That's what we're afraid of. They're going to see all of my imperfections. They're going to see everything in my life. They're going to know I'm a crackpot. Is that really what they see? Hang on to that. Just leave that right there, Troy, and we'll get get there, I want to read some scripture. You don't have to go back to it unless you would like to. We are like common clay jars that carry, that carry the treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Hey, I didn't write that. We've been trying to tell you that, but I didn't write that. That's scripture. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but we're not out. This is powerful. This is God's word to you. This is the light coming from within. It's beginning to stir you up. We continually share in death, the death of Jesus in our own bodies, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. Let me tell you about humanity. So the doctor finally brings us to the edge, the brink, the cliff, and says, your daughter needs a heart transplant. Her heart is dying. But I said, Doc, that means somebody has to die. That's what happens when you transplant a heart. And I went to God about that, because I don't want that for anybody. I want that for anybody's family. And then they started bringing testimonies of people who had been in tragic accidents. There was no recovery, no future life. And all of a sudden, because their families had given life, here was a person with a heart transplant. Here was a person with new kidneys. Here was a person with new livers. Here was a person with lung transplant. And we have met some of those people. And oh my goodness, it's almost like there's more people in the room than just that person. And God said to me, Larry, don't you think I've had this planned all the time? And don't you think that I'm going to take care of that soul because they're just as precious to me as your Jessica is to you? You see, I ask questions too. I'm not perfect. I'm a crackpot. But God, and he's beginning to turn the light on. He's beginning to show us, this is why you're here. I've had all kinds of questions in my mind. Lord, how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get that done? How am I going to take care of this? How am I going to take care of what's happening to the church, Lord? What can we do? All of this stuff. And he goes, well, it's your turn to watch me work. And I said, okay. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We are knocked down, but not out. We continually share the death of Jesus in our body so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. Oh, God, forgive me, but thank you. I am very human. We consider living to mean that we are... that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus will be revealed in my humanity. Paul said, I crucify the flesh daily. I'm dying daily. But yet for me to die is to live, because Christ is in me. This is a real understanding of what the Word of God has said. So then, death is not at work in us. Come on. Death is not working in us, but it releases life in you. If I die to my sins, I live to my Lord. Wow. And all of a sudden, this is what you see out of a crack. Watch. Some of you have seen some of these breakthroughs in the clouds lately. Do you know that's what you're like? you think they're seeing all that cracked ground and all that ugliness. And what people are seeing is, I can't believe. People said that to us so many times, and I can't tell you that we have not, I can tell you, we have not walked around with a Bible in our hand preaching to everybody. I'm just human. And yet they come running from everywhere, all over the planet. God is sending people that I would never have met at 742 Cookson Avenue. What is God doing in you? What's your work atmosphere like? What's school like? What's your neighborhood like? What are you doing in that neighborhood? All you see are the cracks and the flaws and the brokenness of your pot and what Jesus is saying, just get out of the way and let me shine through you. Let me love your neighbors. Light has the ability to help us see. It also has the ability to blind. It has the ability to distort our vision or to reveal the truth. It's our response. How are we going to use it? Maybe I don't look directly into it, but I use it to light up the word that I have. And then I'm able to see. I'm able to look at it from different perspectives to reveal the truth. We are, Paul says it, we're jars of clay. The best cracked pots ever. Light can be revealed. Leslie, Pastor, this is what you guys are trying to say today. If we let Christ in, he takes the very things we call faults, cracks, and pours solid, precious blood, gold, through us, and light shines out of our life. And the world is waiting. They're living, it says it in the word, you read it here, they're living in darkness and you have the light. And don't be afraid of the cracks. Just let it go. Light can reveal faults. Light can fill and shine through. I say thank you. Some of you said, oh, Pastor, can I do something? Can I do something more? And I can tell you, you've already done more than you know because of the love and light that Jesus has shown through you as a church body. We love you. We thank you. And if we're a part of that and we're reflecting his glory today, then give the glory to God because he's worthy.